Blog Talk Radio.
Mayor, question from Marianne Ahern at Channel 5. In New York today, the governor and the mayor announced that they will suspend mass transit for a deep cleaning overnight each day. Are there any similar plans here?
You know, I heard about that. We don't have any current plans to do that. Look, I think one of the things that challenges all of us is, and I think New York did what they did in reaction to the homelessness population that uses mass transit. We've been very committed to making sure that we're reaching out to members of the homeless community that are traveling on mass transit. There's a regular cadence of outreach to them led by our Department of Family and Support Services. We're trying to get those who are willing to go into transitional housing. We have open shelter beds across the city, particularly because we've flexed with the need to social distance in our shelters and bring other facilities online. That team also has addiction and mental health. And so we're going to continue to do that outreach. But what I'll also say is, you know, there's been a lot of conversation over the course of these last 6 to 8 weeks about public transportation. Public transportation is vital to our essential workers. It is vital to our first responders and our healthcare workers. They rely upon the buses and the trains, and many of them don't have cars. So public transportation is their means to be mobile in a challenging environment. But there are people that work the overnight shift, so closing down essentially during that critical time period for some would mean that would be the difference between them being able to actually get to work or not. And not everybody has the resources to be able to call up a rideshare company. So public transportation is really, really important. I feel very confident in the leadership of President Dorval Carter and his team. We're in regular conversation with them about what more we can do, not only to support the members of the Amalgamated Transit Union and the other employees of the CTA, but making sure that we're doing everything to keep the CTA safe and clean for ridership. So I don't see us taking that step for the reasons that I've articulated.
Peace, everybody. This is Brother Eric checking in with you. Thanks for checking in with me and us. Well, you heard it from the mayor's mouth. She wants the trains to continue, the trains and the buses to continue transmitting a deadly virus. She answered a question she answered it and deflected. So you're willing to shut it down to clean it for a couple hours every night, like New York City, much bigger city. More trains, their train cars, their train consists of 10 cars, ours are 8. They're much wider, much longer, stations, more track. But no, you don't want to do it. Right away, she went into homelessness. Homelessness is not the problem. Homelessness is the symptom. And then she went and talked about shelters and transitional housing and to social distance. Here they go again. They're blaming us for being sick. But when you don't clean the properties and you cut off the health care and you confuse people about the tax system and you don't let them have any say in what happens in their government, and you're cutting things back, we have no alternative but to live on the trains. This is what they do. And guess who has to take care of them? The workers, the public transportation workers. There's no training protocols for that. It is not what we come to work to do. Simple. And we don't have enough people to clean as it is, nor the right equipment, or the protective equipment. So we're just all catching this virus and spreading it around to each other. I personally have been out for a month, doing much better, coughing much less. A lot of my coworkers, they're in bad shape. Four of them died. So the mayor's response is irresponsible. She talked about the essential workers, or the so-called. We're going to say so-called because essential workers is just another code word for automaton, worthless being that must sacrifice their life to keep a system moving that needs to be fixed. Those workers on the trains, that in the buses, that clean them and repair them and operate them, must endure. Their immune systems are being overwhelmed with these with this virus and whatever else is happening. They are just as important, and we deserve to have a dignified, clean environment. No excuses. It's in our contract. I'm not saying anything out of the norm. Excuse me. The people who we transport, the passengers, these are essential, so-called essential workers, as you say. Well, you're saying they're worthless too, because the transit workers are transporting the pathogens, where the passengers must, the essential, so-called essential workers must sit or stand in that environment. The reporter asked you, could you shut it down for a couple hours every night? She said, no, we're going to keep it moving. You talk about housing. We got hotels all along the O'Hare branch of the Blue Line. Put the workers up in there. We want them to get to their jobs too, but can we have them survive? And then they can just take the train just a short hop from Cumberland and Rosemont all the way to O'Hare and back. We don't have any tourists. Give them a rental car if they have a driver's license. Give them a voucher for ride share. Give them a bike share voucher so they can ride a bike. If they're downtown or near south or near north, there's all kinds of alternatives if you just ask the people who you're subjecting to this torment. We want to work. We want to work, but we want to live. And it's very pompous of you to respond like you did yesterday in that press conference. Shame on you. You said you're working with the union and the CTA. You're not working with the workers, though. You may be working with a couple people who are elected by us, entrusted by us, but they aren't talking to us. They've shut down meetings. They don't want to hear from us. So you need to talk to us and listen to us. We're the union, the workers, not a few people who we pay to represent us. They're supposed to work for us. Right now, there's a crisis. You said there's a confidence in leadership that you have. Well, we have no confidence in our leadership now. Four of our coworkers are dead in Chicago, over 100 in New York City, all bunch of cities around the country, people dying left and right, workers walking off. Just in frustration. We had four workers who were asked to clean a train where one of our four coworkers was ill with COVID-19. He didn't have the right equipment, didn't have the right protocols. Said we don't want to hurt ourselves. We don't want to get sick on the job. That's a rule violation to get hurt on the job when you don't have proper equipment. Manager said, just do it anyways. He said, no, we want to live. He said, you can go home then. They went home. Union leadership represented them the next day. and they scared the workers, scared the hell out of the management, and they threw out all the charges. So you talk about this confidence in leadership. We have no confidence in our leadership. Many of us. Some of us do. And that's, but at the Justice Coalition, we're workers, and we believe the workers are the leaders. And so today on May 1st, this historic day, we're going to make a big, we're making a big, big, big announcement. And that is we are taking the first major step to taking control of our labor union. We're focusing, we're putting a lot of effort in Local 308, but Local 241 is also in the same contract. And so we're proposing to write our own contract. Not proposing, we're just doing it, because the contract has expired months ago, December 31st, 2019. And all we get is wait, we'll get back to it, we'll work on it. From our leaders there, we're coming around to listen to what you have to say. You're not listening to what we're saying. You did contract proposal meetings in the summer last year, and then we posted all of that online in a spreadsheet, and you said, oh, that stuff is making false hopes. How can the meetings that our union sponsored, where information was gathered from the members for a better contract, be presenting false hopes? This is what some in our leadership have told us. This is unacceptable. So, you'll see in the links the description of the show why we need to make our own contract. And why are we announcing it on May Day? See, this May Day has all kinds of meanings in it. It goes back to antiquity. But in recent history, the connection between May 1st and the labor rights movement began in the United States. And at the height in the 19th century, at the height of the Industrial Revolution, thousands of men, women, and children were dying every year from poor working conditions and long hours. So in an attempt to end the inhumane conditions, the Federation of Organized Trades and Labor Unions, which is transformed into the AFL, American Federation of Labor, held a convention in Chicago in 1884. And they proclaimed that 8 hours shall constitute a legal day's labor from and after May 1st, 1886. Excuse me. The following year, the Knights of Labor, the biggest labor organization, backed the proclamation, and then both groups encouraged the workers to strike and demonstrate. So on May 1st, 1886, more than 300,000 workers, 40,000 from Chicago alone, from 13,000 businesses, walked off their jobs across the country. In the following days, more workers joined, about 100,000. Now, look into the history of it. It there was some violence involved. And police were sicked onto the workers. But you must, for the sake of time, we can't get into the whole history, but I encourage you to look it up. Because right now, as we speak, Target workers at Target, Whole Foods, and Amazon are striking. About what? Unsafe working conditions. Now, keep in mind, they're not organized in the unions. They're going to be soon, no doubt about it. But here's workers who are in unions, not at Amazon, Target, Whole Foods, scared to death, scared to death. And some of them, like in Illinois, have laws that allow them to strike. Illinois, you're allowed to. There's a couple, we have a little, we did another broadcast, a little show about that, did two other shows about that. Check them out when you get a chance. So at the Justice Coalition, our little caucus, we're trying to reform Local 308, and we're working with reformers in Local 241. We know that our leadership, our elected leadership, is unwilling to allow us through the democratic process of proposing solutions to this pandemic, voting on the solutions, debating them, and voting on actions to back what we want. They're just not permitting it. They've shut down the meetings. They don't want to have virtual meetings. And because of the law, it is very difficult to organize any mass action without our presidents of our unions being in support of it, in support of us. It just doesn't exist. So we got to choose our battles. And I know that personally I can get behind an effort for our contract, and a lot of other coworkers I've spoken with like the idea of us writing our own contract, because it's not being talked about. The contract is not being talked about. In fact, they're discouraging. I've had elected leaders tell me, don't even talk about that right now. We need to deal with this pandemic. But the issue is, when you talk about things like so-called hazard pay, that's a contract issue. So we need to be talking about it. We need to get ready for it. You know, one union steward out in New York said quite a few times, and he's right, the economic consequences of this pandemic, and we will not realize it immediately, but it's coming. Austerity is coming. Our governments and companies that we work for are going to want concessions from our unions. They're going to want us to give stuff up. We've got nothing left to give up, but that's what they're going to want. So we have to be ready for that. And there's workers and unions around the country that are getting ready for that. And if enough of us are mobilizing and engaging with the stakeholders of the companies where we work, which is typically the customer, if for public transit, for example, or any type of transportation, it's the people who you move. Those are your stakeholders. If you're in freight, it's the companies whose freight you move. So engaging with the public, engaging with each other, and taking action, little things, big things, everything that we can do will make a difference. And the contract is critical. So this contract is a, and by the way, if anyone wants to call in, it's 515-605-9885. We have this collaborative project where our members are going to be recruited and invited in writing our own contract. And right now, if you look at the links in the descriptions, in the description of the show, you'll have it there. You have the contract proposal spreadsheet, which is where we put the information, where we gather what people want, and that we can sort things out, find the duplicates, or improve upon things that already exist. And then we have the contract itself, that document. So that document has been created. It's a public Word doc. Anybody in the public can add notations to it. If you want to edit, you actually need to sign in with Google. Right now we're working on Article 1, 10 minutes left in the show, and we might as well get started. So I'm going to click on the link and go right to the contract. Now, Article 1 is the most important part and most overlooked part in our contract. All right? And when you go to the link, you'll see it's basically a proposal. It's a project proposal document. And the first page is the cover letter. The second page is the overview, the goals, the specifications. Make sure you read that, and it includes the links. And the third page has the milestones. The first milestone we want to accomplish is to the contract and call for collaboration to complete Articles 1 and 2. So Article 1, I put a comment on there that I don't think it needs any significant alteration, but you may disagree. Article 1 of our contract states the purpose of the contract. The purpose of this agreement is to provide the best and most satisfactory service to the public, comma. That is extremely important in public transportation. We have no work. We have no job. We have no purpose. The best and most satisfactory service, boom, right there, that tells us that this is not only a contract between the CTA and the unions. This is a contract between the CTA and the public. The people who we transport are just as important in the creation of a contract and its negotiation as the workers and the company. If they aren't satisfied and they aren't being provided the best and most satisfactory service, we have violated, the contract has been violated. And people will say, well, that's your fault. You're the workers. Well, what do we have to work with as workers? Some may complain that the conductor closed the doors on me, a lot of them say. Well, we apologize for the inconvenience. And the company will get the report, pull the video, take the motorman, the operator of the train out of service, investigate the video, found guilty. And they'll punish them with the safety violation. A safety violation that will stay on their record for 2 years. They can only get 3 safety violations and they'll be terminated. However, the company is able and does accelerate that discipline if they choose. So depending on circumstances, that train operator could be fired. And you never know. It may have been a total accident. But why was the door closed? And what car were they on? Were they on the 8th car, the 7th car? The sun was glaring. You only have 1 crew member on a train now. So they have to see all the way down, a little teeny tiny speck. That's you. That's the public. That's the rider. Do you think that that's fair? Do you think that that's just as a rider? You say you shouldn't have closed the door on me. You're absolutely right. But do you understand the circumstances in which the workers are put? The second part says to provide the best possible working conditions for the employees. Boom! Look at that. So the second part of the purpose is to provide the best working conditions for the employees. So I just told you, right, about how that train operator has to look all the way down and see. Now, they may have closed the doors on you and then opened it back up because they saw that the door wasn't closed on their little indicator lamp in the motor cab where they operate the train, or they just saw you in there halfway trying to get out, you know, and they opened it back up and you got back on and you're okay because they can't move the train with you in it. It's very difficult to do that. And we're not talking about those kind of exceptions. We're just talking about you understandably as a rider being upset with a worker who who you, the worker, are understandably dealing with hazards. And the schedule might be kind of tight. How many minutes do they have? Does that operator have to use the bathroom and they're already delayed? And that delay is forcing them to have to speed it up because they know they need to get to the terminal to use the toilet. The third part says, at the same time, for having due regard for the economical operation of the authority's equipment. So that's on us, the workers. That part is how we operate the equipment. And that's why you'll hear a lot of our workers and other workers in other industries talking about, look, we want to be safe. We don't want to catch this nasty illness. We just want the right PPE, personal protective equipment. We want, enough hands on deck to clean the train, to operate the train safely, to move the train out of the yard safely, health and pension, retirement, so that when we give our lives to the companies where we work, we can get some benefit to take care of our families, so when we leave the job, we can have some degree of comfort. So we're trying our best to do our job. We don't want to destroy our equipment. We don't want to destroy the trains. We don't want to upset the customers. We don't want to destroy the stations, So we all have our part in Article 1. So we got about 2 minutes left. We're going to wrap up this show. But I invite you in the public and the coworkers to be involved in this project and help us write the best contract that we could ever come up with in our history as a union, because we're going to need it in this day and time. Thank you so much for listening, and may you have a wonderful rest of the 1st of May. We'll conclude with some traditional Wolof drumming from the motherland of Africa, the Wolof people. And this is quite timely, as we are in the first half of the Ramadan holiday. Thanks again for joining us. Peace. Thank you.
Attention all union members. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, all union meetings are now canceled. All union member rights to govern the union have been suspended. Stay away from the union office. Do not attempt to question elected leaders or company managers.
Shut up!
Do not attempt to think or depression may occur. Stay away from the union office. Dues will be extracted from your paycheck, and you will not question where the money is going. Anyone caught discussing a strike, slowdown, sick out, picket, or meeting with union members without permission from elected leaders may be trolled online, mysteriously fired, and their grievances may be law. Remain calm. Do not fight unfair company policies. Your union rep will be by to explain how you cannot tell the company how to treat you or maintain the best possible working conditions. Anyone caught sharing information from the union, labor law, the contract, or local bylaws without permission of the elected leaders will be humiliated. Remain calm. Do not strike. The number one enemy of progress is questions. Withholding information is more important than knowing the truth. All obedience to elected leaders and management will proceed as normal. No union member may post on Facebook without permission from the union office. Read only the information given by your elected leaders.
Shut up!
Obey all orders without question. The contract we give you will be ratified. Be happy! At last, everything is done for you.